Hello, all of you wonderful people out there in podcast land. Welcome to another exciting episode of Black and White Reviews.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great intro.
Yeah.
Great, last time.
My name is Chuck.
My name is Lee.
My name is Will.
And today we are... Tonight, at this moment in time, we are talking about Season 2, Episode 9, the season finale of Episode 2 of Stranger Things.
Entitled, The Gate.
Yes. Very, you know, properly titled.
Yeah, oh, of course.
I would say so.
Properly
titled. I would say
titled.
So.
For the way the Ninth Gate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I would say for the way that this episode wraps things up, it's very, very appropriately titled. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The way it wraps things up has nothing to do with the gate. The last 15 minutes of this show have nothing to do with the gate. To be honest,
really,
the way
no.
they wrapped this up, the way they wrapped this up, this could have been a series finale versus a season finale. But either way, I loved this episode.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Episode 8 was still my favorite, but I still loved this episode. This episode was fantastic.
What about it did you love? If you could pick out like one thing that you like really loved about this episode, what would it be?
Hop regained my respect in this episode.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's the biggest thing. Okay. Hop regained my respect in every aspect in this episode. When everything comes out and he does what he does,
yeah.
I was like, there he is.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yes.
Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And I like Steve. I think Steve was great.
I've been waiting for this because I've been holding my tongue for so long. And I'm glad that you're finally starting to like, I'll save my thing for when my turn is. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I think Steve redeemed himself. This episode, for characters that you were like, eh, about, it redeemed a lot of those people.
Mm-hmm.
The character of Will, eh, it is what it is.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Okay.
My heart breaks for Dustin. Let me tell you, my heart like goes out for Dustin at the end of this episode. he's still one of my favorite characters.
Okay.
I think his hair is amazing at the end of this episode. It's fantastic.
He used the Farrah Fawcett spray.
Yes, he
but
does.
Way more than four puffs.
Way more. But overall, yeah, I just how they handled everything, how everything went about. Winona Ryder still can't cry. I don't understand why, you know, craziness happens to her.
Gotcha.
You know, it just doesn't happen. But my favorite part is the fact that, like, I'll say it again, Hop redeemed himself. And all the respect that I was losing for Hop, he has gained back from one scene and one scene alone. And
yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it.
He has a couple of really powerful scenes in this episode that we will definitely talk about later on. But I agree.
Huge.
I do like, and without getting too spoiler specific about this episode, I love that you had to see him at like that low where he like locks 11 in and he's being arrogant about it and he's just being an overall jerk about everything. Like you have to experience that low for this to be as impactful as it was.
And it hits home perfect.
It hits.
It hits home perfect.
It hits for a lot of different reasons. It hits.
Yeah.
Okay.
You connect with the characters in the scene. I mean, it picks up right where the last episode ended, basically.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
But it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. The writers of this show are brilliant. The portrayal of each character, is phenomenal. I know you had a shift with Nancy a couple episodes back because of what she does.
Mm-hmm.
She is growing on me.
Okay.
There are things that she's doing that she's growing on me, and so I'm gaining respect for her as well too. And then the wowness of 11 in this was just fantastic. It was, it was amazing. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and Max is a shining star in this episode, and I love it.
You don't see it coming.
I love it.
I did not see it coming. When I first went through the series and I got to this point, I was like, what? Okay.
What?
Max is, all right. Go Max. Yep. Absolutely.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
She's really cool. I really like Max. She's really, really cool, especially in this episode.
Yes, and she just, you see, I'm seeing more and more what you're saying about there's so much growth in every character aside from, like, Will.
Yeah.
Will's just stuck in episode one, season one.
Right.
Everybody else is so much further along now, and even Max, who was introduced at the beginning of this season, has had more growth in this season than Will has had in two seasons.
I don't want to get too ahead of myself. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, and I promise that I'm going to keep this conversation to this episode. But I did go a little bit into season three.
Mm. Again, yeah.
Will is
the same.
God, yeah. Like it's cringeworthy.
I didn't even dare say into season four. Like, let's not expect Will to really grow.
Bad. It's
like
bad.
He's a character that they just never really.
I don't understand.
Found a way to write him back.
Do you think it was purposeful?
I don't know.
I feel like
they
didn't know how to do it.
Yeah,
they did not know how to bring him, how to resurrect him. Like he was Zombie Boy, but they couldn't officially resurrect him after that.
Right.
You have all the. I think what infuriates
me. Don't get your hopes up.
I think the most infuriating thing with me about Will is probably like you have all of the opportunity in the world to turn this into an amazing character because of everything that he's been through. And it's just like, well, no.
Well, I'm going to say this because I'm hopeful because they haven't really let us down with all the other characters. I'm hopeful that in season five, the final season, that they will find a way to redeem Will in that. I'm hopeful that they will because they have to, because it's just like what a way to like. I'll say this: the actor himself, Noel Snap, I think his name is Noel Snap, Schnapp, whatever. He is just Noah Schnapp. If they don't give him a redeeming part in this final season, the end. His career might not go anywhere, like at all. They have to give him something. They have to give him something because the last time I saw him, it was just like, I hate to say it, but pathetic.
I don't know.
It was pathetic.
It is. It's pretty pathetic.
It's pathetic.
Yeah, but him as Will, there's no.
I have to pick it back on something that Lee just said. I don't have a problem with what they do with the character. I have a problem with what he does.
Yeah.
The tears. And like Chuck. Like, oh God, dude, really? Like you had a demon in you. You were coughing up alien creatures. But this is okay. I'm sorry, Chuck. Okay. Anyways.
No, you're fine.
I'm not gonna talk about it. My hopes are not high for Will at all going into season five. They're not. There's only one thing that they could do to resurrect this character, and that's use his experiences to somehow make him stronger than 11. That's the only thing they could possibly do with this character.
Or
as strong. To redeem him. Or as strong.
Yeah.
And it's like, you've been to Demon World. You've been coughing up these things. You're somehow attached to what's going on the other side of this thing. You have all the possibilities in the world to turn this around. That's the only thing in my mind that they could do. Is completely flip the script and turn him into something is equal to or more powerful than 11. That's the only thing that they can do at this point.
If they don't, then Noah Schnapp is going nowhere.
They should make it where he can only exist in the Upside Down.
So he just dies and he just goes into the Upside Down.
He's not dead.
Yeah.
I completely 100%.
So this episode, back to it for a moment. This episode, I think all three of us are in agreement with our feelings on Will. So let's just leave that on the back burner where it belongs right now.
Yeah. I think the actor, his portrayal of what's going on inside of him as he's flipping out is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Catatonic shell shock, the whole thing. Yeah, it's he's
let me go.
Yeah.
Let
but
me go.
Him as yeah. Will without any issues is bleh.
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah.
So I mean, this episode is you've got three different teams. You know, basically, you've got the team that's watching Will. You've got the team that's going to distract all the demo dogs, and then you've got you've got Hopper and 11.
11.
Those are the three teams that you're following here. And I like that throughout this show, you have teams. You've either got two teams or you've got three teams. You know, it's never just one focus.
Mm.
I mean, you had the thing with 11 going off to, you know, Bon Jovi town and all that stuff and doing her thing. But, like, there's also another story going on with other people. So you're never just following one group of people.
Right.
You're always following multiple different stories, and they're all kind of happening simultaneously. And here you've got these three teams that are doing their own thing. And you've got the kids, you know, led by Steve Harrington, who was like King Steve, who's now brought down to like Prince Steve. And he's just like, yeah, kind of not who I was anymore because I got a soft spot with the Farrah Fawcett spray. Mm. And now I'm going to babysit these kids. And he tries to babysit them, but I'm sorry. Am I jumping too far ahead? Were you done, Will, with your part?
I didn't even really. I mean, if you're going now, go now. Go ahead.
Okay. I felt like it was kind of transitioning in. One thing we missed last week was a huge part. And Chuck and I talked about this very briefly. We didn't even talk about Billy and his dad. We did not even touch about Billy at all.
Yeah.
And that's a huge situation. So you've got Billy.
Let's get into that more when we talk about Max.
I mean, we can. But I'm just saying we missed last week.
Right.
So in Billy, his character that we talked about last week, his dad is like a hard guy. Like he's not imposing. He's not imposing, but he's
Billy's
tough.
Billy's afraid of the authority. He's not afraid of the person.
Yes. Right. So he's afraid of the authority, but as an authority, he's super strong. His dad is a strong authority.
The thing is,
justifiably a strong authority.
Even in that situation that we didn't talk about last week with that episode where, you know, they're in the bedroom and go find your sister, blah, 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 push him up against the thing, smack him around a little bit. If it came to blows, I feel like Billy would easily handle him.
Right.
He's bigger. He's stronger. Come on. Just look at the guy.
Yeah.
The guy looks like a stiff breeze would knock him over and break his hip.
Possibly, but he held it. He held an authority that Billy
he held an authority.
To.
Yeah,
and it was like, whoa. So you see where it's like he sucks it all in, and then blows it up all over Max.
Yeah,
you know, like that's clearly he takes that and goes, I'm going to take all my aggression that I have against this guy and throw it all over her because this is the authority. It goes down the chain. She gets the beating because he got the beating. You know, it just. Hurt people.
Right.
And that's kind of what they're going here. We never talked about that, and I think that's a huge injustice. So sorry, everybody, for missing that big point, but that's a big deal. But aside from the details of last week, we get more into these characters, as we've all talked about. And I love this episode because I feel like the way they ended this season was not just a finale, but definitely a leading into another season. You know, even like they never.
I didn't feel that. I felt like it could have been a series finale.
Because
they end the episode by accomplishing the goal, and then there's 15 minutes left of the episode or 10 minutes left of the episode where everything kind of just like falls neatly into
except
place.
For the very end where they go upside down.
Yeah.
And see the shadow monster there, like hey, I'm still after you. Just like they did in the first season where Will's coughing up slugs in the sink.
But that's the only part of it that
the difference here, is Will is bringing something back with him onto the other side, and you know that it's going to lead into something here.
Right.
You know, we get the ending and then all of a sudden Shadow Monster, and it's like, whoa, okay.
Right.
But what you're thinking too is because of what they accomplish, yeah, it's there. It's no longer in our world. We win. So that could still, because their goal wasn't to beat it in the sense of kill it for good. It was to just lock it up.
Lock it up. Exactly.
So they accomplished their goal. 10 minutes left of the episode, everything falls neatly and nicely into place. They show it back at its home. Season finale, series finale at that point. And to me, because of the way they extended this ending, it felt like a series finale.
Now, let's go back to the 80s, you know, when they would have like a horror most of it's horror that this kind of falls in, you know, like strange sci-fi horror, you know, where could they go with this? If you still see the antagonist or evil character, obviously they're going to keep going. Don't see them, but know that they're like somehow locked away, but still alive, you know they're going to continue going on.
This is what's her name getting dragged through the door at the end of Nightmare
exactly.
on Elm Street.
Exactly. I was going to say the Duffer Brothers. I was looking at pictures of the production of this, and you've got the Duffer Brother with the longer hair, and he's wearing a Nightmare on Elm Street shirt, like, you know, the original Nightmare on Elm Street. And all I think of is like, clearly they're taking a lot of ideas from this. And at the end, it's like, everything's good. Oh, they're all getting in the car. See you later, kids. And then, you know, the soft cover comes over and it's striped like Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
And then she gets dragged in like the cheap, like stupid looking, you know, blow up doll through the window at 1428.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, well, here we go. Here's what we're going to see here. And that's what they've done here. So the first season was very much more like
Jason's mask E.T. getting pulled into the grave.
Oh yeah. And Jason Goes to Hell.
Yeah.
You know, getting pulled up through the dirt, which was leading into Freddy versus Jason, which came out. Let me see. Jason Goes to Hell must have been like 96, to my guess. And then Freddy versus Jason wasn't until like 2001, 2002.
Somewhere in there.
Many years later. But yeah, like leading up to it, and it's like, we know we're going to get something more. So here, it's very much falling under the 1984, which I think was the year that Freddy first came out. Like they're kind of going along with that, so they're making it obvious that they're going to keep going. I don't see it as like they could have ended it here. I mean, they could have if they didn't have that final scene. Maybe they're at the snowball, everything's fun. Look, she's wearing makeup and she's in a dress. Cool, but then flip it upside down, big shadow monster. Where are they going to go with it? I know where they're going to go with it, but I will say this. You got the character Billy. I can't pronounce the guy's name. Hackray? Dacray?
Not even
Montgomery?
Gonna try.
I gotta hear it. The one who was, you know, Jason in Power Rangers.
Yep.
He shows up, leather jacket open. Hey. After she was reading the book that we gave Mark, you know, at the grocery store. Just, you know, this ridiculous, like, graphic romance novel. And he shows up, young dude, hey, didn't know Nancy had a sister. Like, totally just going with it. And I start to wonder, like, was he just, like, really hitting on her or trying to get information? I feel like it was just, like, he was just being him and he really was just hitting on her. I don't know.
We'll talk about that in spoiler territory.
Yeah, okay. So we're not there yet.
No.
No.
True. But it was like Billy's character in this, he's on a mission because he's been threatened by his dad. So what's his plan? What's he going to do? Right? He's just going to do it. And when you hear that his goal at after the last episode is to find her, you're afraid for her. Like, what's he going to do to her? and his friend or and her friends. And we get that here.
Right.
So,
Will, your thoughts?
I love this episode. I think it's a fantastic finale. I'm really glad, Chuck, that you opened up with saying that, you know, Steve is coming around on you, because I've been waiting since Steve cleaned up the paint at the movie theater to say, I love this character. I love Steve Harrington. He's probably my second favorite character on the show, right behind Hop. And you're building up to what happens in this episode, and it's pulled off amazing. Like, this whole past season, from that point till now, like, his character growth has been fantastic. And I think I figured out why. I think it's, like, the little kid in all of us want that for, like, a big brother. Like, that's the figure that, like, every little kid inside all of us, like, looks at. And I think it's fantastic that they were able to do that with a character like that, especially bringing from where he was, having a couple of friends who were just jerks and just wanting nothing more than to get into Nancy's pants, blah, 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 and to have this full 180, like, character swing and, like, do what he does here and even previously, I think is fantastic. I'm on board with you also about Hop. It's definitely a redemption. There's still work to be done, but it's definitely a redemption. And yeah, there's not really a whole lot I want to say, like, in the non-spoiler territory when I'm talking about this episode. Everything that I want to talk about is pretty, like, I want to pinpoint certain things and kind of talk about it for a little bit. But by and large, I think this the finale. All the finales of this show do a really good job at not only tying a neat bow on everything, but setting you up for the next season, with one exception that we're not even anywhere near talking about yet. And that happened here. Like, yeah, like things are great, but there's still this thing that's kind of like looming in the background that, you know, eventually is going to have to be taken care of. But yeah, and that's
cool.
Those are my thoughts.
Well, since you don't have much to talk about outside of spoiler territory, let's get right into
you do that.
The spoiler territory. So for the rest of this conversation, find us on patreon.com/blackandwhitereviews. Audio will always be free on the podcast, but all video and the rest of this conversation will be done on patreon.com. With that said... Yeah, let's start off with Hop. So this episode opens exactly where the last episode ends, and that's with Eleven destroying the demo dog and coming into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all in the living room, and Eleven comes in, and she's all excited to see Mike and yada, yada, yada. Well, the truth of what's been happening for the last year comes out, and Mike starts laying it on thick on Hop. And Hop's like, not here. Let's go. And they go into this other room, and Hop just allows Mike to just unleash on
him.
And then after he's done and he just like explodes, Hop just gives him a giant hug and says, I understand what you're feeling right now. It was for your safety. And he's like, now, I don't fully agree with what Hop did. I think Eleven can take care of herself.
Yeah.
More than anybody else in this TV show.
Yeah.
But the fact that he let Mike express himself and do what he did, and he just took him in. He became a respectable father figure in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he's in the car with Eleven driving to the gate, they're back and forth, and he explains what's going on there as well too. You know, he's not mad at her for running away. He expresses to Eleven more about his daughter. And you see more of the truth of who he is come out. Mm-hmm. And because of these two scenes, I was like, oh, I'm gaining more respect for Hop back. I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
And then of course the end, you know, when they're at the gate and he's just letting Eleven do what she does, and he's just unloading on the demo dogs. It was so cool. Yeah. So
for me, the moment was in the car. It takes a lot.
That was the conversation they had, the back and forth.
It takes a lot for a man from a certain generation to admit when they're stupid. It yep. takes a lot for a guy to admit that, especially somebody like him. And for him to just come out and say, yeah, I'm stupid, I'm sorry, it's me, blah, 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 blah. I'm not, like all of that was fantastic. And it immediately, like, for me, my respect for Hop is just, like, reborn all over again. And I'm like, okay, this is the guy that, you know, this is the guy that people of the series, fans of the series, like, fell in love with in the first season. And now you're doing this all. I thought it was fantastic. It was fantastic. And he's even like, I don't hate the look, because she comes back looking all punk rock. Well, not punk rock, but she comes back looking all emo.
Yeah.
She just got back from a Cure concert. And it's like, all right. And he's not upset about it. He's not mad about it. He goes with it. He runs with it. They both have a laugh. They both have a heart to heart. And I thought, yeah, it's fantastic.
It was perfect.
It's just, but I really want to hammer home the fact that it's just a man of a certain caliber, a man from a certain time era. Do not easily admit when they're wrong. Do not easily admit when they're stupid. Not in that sense. And he did it, and he ate it, and it was fantastic. It was fantastic.
I think that's men for most generations.
Yeah.
I mean, we're so.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking like somebody like when my grandfather was alive. He never admitted when he was wrong. He never admitted when he was being stupid. He never admitted that he was being stubborn or pigheaded about something. Never, ever, ever in a million years was never going to happen. Was he all of those things from time to time? Yes, but he was never going to come out and say it. Ever. Ever. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like men from a certain generation or men who were just built differently, well, like 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. They're not doing that.
Right.
They're not.
So,
I
mean, I actually did something like this. So today is Sunday, and we're recording this, it is the 18th. And on the 14th, 4 days ago, I had surgery. I was under the knife for about 2.5 to 3 hours. I had a hiatal hernia fixed, and they went up. I had 6 incisions in my stomach, and so from like 7:15 until about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I was basically out.
You were done.
Well, about 2 o'clock, my wife came and picked me up. I was all dressed and changed, and
the wheelchair.
The nurse is like, "We're gonna wheelchair you out," and I'm like, "No, you're not. I'm gonna walk out." They're like, "You don't understand how much anesthesia you've had." I'm like, "I don't care."
I'm good.
I'm fine.
I'm good.
I can walk out.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all think we can walk out.
Yes. We all think we can.
And she's like, "No, you're sitting down." And I was like, "Fine, I'll sit down." I said just like that, like, "Fine, I'll sit down." And she's wheeling me out. And I'm like, so my question was, I go, "How many men give you this argument?" She's like, "Most of them."
Yeah. Absolutely. Women are like, "Oh yeah, bring it on." You know?
I don't need to be wheeled out. I'm fine.
When I was 19.
Until we move.
Yes.
And then we go, "Oh." Oh.
Yeah, okay. But I already left the room I was in. I walked to the bathroom.
I know.
I went to the bathroom. I walked back.
The 7 steps we take to the bathroom are fine.
Yeah.
It's the 10th, 12th, and 13th step where we go, "Oh. Oh, okay. Maybe I'll sit down."
Yeah. When I was 19, I had a pretty severe case of pneumonia, and I was in the hospital for about 1.5 weeks. When they discharged me to leave, I did the same thing. "I'm fine. I'm walking out of here on my own. Don't worry about it. Get away from me." This is me, arrogant 19-year-old teenager. I know everything. I'm fine. Get away from me. I took 2 steps onto that elevator and immediately took a knee. I was like, okay, all right. The amount of like steroids and the drugs and the painkillers and everything and the morphine that they had me on for 1.5 weeks, that's when the fatigue hit me I got on that elevator. And I was like, it was rough. Luckily, there was like a nurse there with me to like kind of like, "I told you." She was like, "I told you. So can you please... just sit fine."
Yeah, I mean, I sat in the elevator. I sat in the wheelchair and I got wheeled out. But she's like, I don't think you understand how much anesthesia we put you on. Like,
that's
because it's funny. Because I up until this point, I've had three procedures of upper endoscopies, and each procedure they wheel me into the procedure room, the OR. They give me the anesthesia, and then I pass out.
Start the whole process, and then
in the OR.
Yeah,
I was in this room. I wasn't in the OR. I was in this room.
Went out.
They're taking my blood pressure. They're taking my oxygen, you know, levels, all that kind of stuff, and they unlock my bed that I'm sitting in to wheel me out. And then I woke up in another room 6 hours later.
Yes,
I don't remember. There were two moments in time where I woke up for like split seconds after the surgery was done, and I was in the room, and it was so hazy though, and the taste in my mouth was god awful. I tried water, and I'm like, I cannot. But
that was the upper endoscopy.
I had a tube in my throat the whole time, so my throat was all sore. But I was like, this is awful. When I finally came to at like 1 o'clock, it took me a good like 35 minutes. Like, I want to move.
Yeah.
Almost an hour. And I was like, okay. But then I was like, hey, you know, I literally just woke up an hour ago. Let me walk. And they're like, no, like, come on, whatever.
I've never had surgery, so I don't know how to relate. Well, that's a lie. I had a hernia when I was like one. Exactly. So I don't know how.
Well, I'm getting in the car, and the nurse goes to my wife. She goes, "Good luck with this one," and I'm like, "Oh, fantastic! Here we go."
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's. I don't know. I don't know where I was going with this. I forgot.
Hop men.
We're talking. Hop, oh yes, men. The whole point of I was just being stubborn and just like hop. You know, like that's just like it's a guy thing to do. Like we don't want to admit hardly ever when we're wrong.
Yeah.
I can see your point with the generational thing too. Then, I mean, there was
We have a much easier time, standing up and say, "Hey, I was wrong about this. Sorry, guys." Like, we can do that. Our generation of men can do that, no problem. People 30, 40, 50 years our senior ain't happening easy, or if at all.
Right.
I agree with that. It's if at all is the big thing there.
Yeah.
Like, in many cases, I've known many people in the generation beyond us or above us, older than us, that just will not.
Right.
And we all know they're wrong. They might even know they're wrong, but they won't admit
it. They won't admit it.
You know? And, like, we tend to, like, you know, fight for justification because we're kind of technically in that millennial group where it's like, but we did this, and we might be hard workers, but we still fight for our own justice because nobody gave us that.
Merely a scratch. Man, I cut your arm off.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
So, I mean, we were talking about surgery. So I've had multiple colonoscopies because of family history of colon cancer and whatnot. And the first time, you know, I went under, they checked stuff. You know, I went in, did my thing. They had me count backwards, and then I'm done.
You went in, and then they went in.
Yeah, and then I went out. And then I went out again. And I was like, okay. You know, I wake up, the doctor zips up his pants, he goes, "Thank you," and walks out. And I go, wait, what? And that's the end of it. And then, that's my dad's story. Never mind. So we end the whole thing. I'm done. Okay, have a nice time. I come back a couple years later for another screening, and they check it. They say, "Oh, we saw some stuff, but nothing to worry about. Okay, see you later." I remember waking up that time and looking up at the screen. I woke up and said, "Are we watching Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom?" And then going out, because all you saw was a tunnel. Because you're watching the screen of this camera that's going through your your GI tract, basically. Right. And it looked like a red tunnel. So I thought we were watching, you know, I thought they were in the mines. And that was that. The next time I woke up and I said, "Doctor, what are we looking at here?" And he's like, "Oh," like surprised that I was awake. And I remember his response. He goes, "Oh, well, we're just rounding the blob," like whatever he said. I don't recall the words verbatim, but I remember asking him and him being like, "Oh, well," crap, he's awake. "Well, we're doing this and we're doing," he goes through the whole thing. And I go, "Okay. All right, thanks. Keep up the good work." And I go back to sleep. And then that's that. The next time I went in, I said, "Hey, last couple times I woke up and started asking questions." They're like, "Okay, we're going to knock you out good this time." So the last couple times I had a checkup, I was out. Like,
how
I
many
walked,
times have you had a colonoscopy?
It's maybe six.
Ooh.
Like I said, I got a history, my family history of colon cancer. And the last time I went, which was weird, like 3 years ago, they did find some, not cancerous, but they did find some questionable things. And they were like, And then they never called me back to have me come back again. So now I'm going, am I dying? Might be. But nobody cares. So moving on. Here we are. But yes, I still wanted to get up every single time they wheeled me out. I'm like, I can walk. I'm fine. Like, I'm just a little fun. Like, no.
A little fun.
You're not driving home. So every single time I had my dad take me down because he knew the drill.
You wanted to walk because you couldn't sit.
Yeah. I guess there's that. Like, but the best part about it was my dad knew the drill. So I went with him like the first four times or so. And afterwards he would bring me out to a Chinese buffet. So after not eating for 2 days and cleaning myself out, he goes, "Let's fill it with a bunch of garbage." All right, Dad, sounds good.
Yeah, I can't eat a single thing for 10 days after my surgery.
Well, I didn't have surgery, that's why.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, no solid food whatsoever.
Yeah, that's why I didn't offer you any popcorners tonight.
Oof.
You know, none of the flavors. Oh. Not even one flavor.
Yes, back to Stranger Things.
So this episode, yeah, I think I totally agree with you guys. The conversation with Hopper and Eleven is amazing. You know, like them coming back together, having that, like, where have you been? What's going on? Hey, I was hard on you. And he brings up his daughter, and she's like, "Who's that?" And he's like, "Well, that's my girl." And he's almost like, "How come you didn't know that?" The way he talks to her. But then I guess he also kind of gets that, "Well, I guess I never told you, so
yeah.
Why wouldn't you know that?" And that's the point where he breaks. Like, he becomes human to her and really to us, because we see him, like, actually opening up to her and not just being this overlord over her. And she gets it, and she's like, "Wow, that really sucks, and I completely understand why you protected me the way that you did." And their relationship is 100% mended. Totally good at that point.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
We also see some stuff here with Sadie Sink's character, Max Mayfield, who, this is the episode where she tells Billy where to stick it.
Yeah.
Or she sticks Billy. And
so
tells him
Billy goes looking for Billy goes looking for Max, and Billy finds Max, and Steve Harrington got a really big problem with Max going away with Billy, and there's a fight.
Oh, so he straight up lies. And they're all peeking out through the window.
So, yeah. And it's a very it's a very one-sided fight because Billy wipes the floor with...
Absolutely.
At first,
Billy
it's not, though.
Wipes.
At first, they're kind of back and forth. But the thing is, like, Billy's letting
Steve
hit him.
No. It is not back and forth. Steve gets off
Billy...
two good punches. Billy throws that plate, and it's over. It's done.
Yeah. Done. Yep.
And Steve is mush. He gets beaten bloody.
Well,
it's rough.
Then Max grabs one of the tranquilizer needles that they've been using for Will. Stabs Billy in the neck.
And he keeps going. He keeps going like a demon. Like, he was, I was surprised that he kept up as long as he did.
No, he stopped at that moment.
He stopped.
Well, he did. No, he stopped, he was still on his feet, and he was like, what are you doing? Yeah. What's happening? And
then he falls.
They were all scared, too. Like, he's not stopping. He's not dropping yet.
And then he falls.
Yep.
And then she grabs the bat. And she's like, you're going to leave me alone.
Between the legs.
Whacks right in between the legs.
Right.
And
he
just looks up. Okay.
He gets it. He gets it. All right.
He gets it.
To your part earlier, though, Lee, is he goes to Mike's mom's house. And he's like, she's in the bathtub reading this book.
She is totally hopped up on, you know.
Wine.
Wine and
erotica.
She is
hopped up on wine and erotica. She got the candles. Yeah. It probably smells wonderful in there, like roses or whatever. She is not looking to get out of this tub, but dad is on the lazy boy.
And you got Ted, who's just passed out in this lazy boy.
On the lazy boy, snoring with stained socks.
This is before it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your kids are?
Right.
This is way before that.
Yeah. They don't have a clue, and I don't think they care.
No idea.
She does not care. She does not care. This woman does not care where her daughter or her son is right now. She is in the tub with that book. That's it. That's all she's worried about.
The doorbell rings. She opens the door, and Billy's there, and he's like, oh, I didn't know Nancy had a sister. And
she's like, blushes from head to toenail. Like,
she's wearing nothing but a bathrobe, and you can tell that she's like trying to like readjust it. So potentially, you know, then she invites him into the house, and he, I think, is just looking for information. She is totally flirting with him back.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. So
without giving too much away.
Oh, no, we're not doing that right now at all. Shut it.
This goes nowhere.
Shut it.
Because it's the end of a season. This goes nowhere because it's the end of a season. But I like that they did it this way because it's the end of a season. Generally, I'm not saying much. I'm just saying, generally when you do a show.
Go ahead.
You don't introduce a storyline until the next season. Here, they're laying down groundwork for like crap that's going to happen, and it's not what you think. It's just like there are little tie lines that are happening here, just like any character that's building anything and developing stuff. You've got Lucas and Max. It's building here. You know, there's a thing that starts here. Like
Max didn't start here,
huh?
They didn't start here. They started four episodes ago.
Yeah, but this is the episode where Dustin gives up and lets. You know, take over.
No.
Well, it was a couple episodes ago.
No.
Where he says that with the trash and all that stuff.
No.
Yeah.
Dustin goes at the very end of this episode. Dustin goes to that dance, doing up his hair with all intentions of getting with Max.
I don't think so.
100%.
No.
Will doesn't think so either.
No. He was 100% going for the other girl that he wanted to blah, blah, blah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Only because.
It wasn't Max.
No, because he goes to go ask Max and Lucas asks her to dance.
I don't think
so. And he stands there and goes, and then he goes, I'm going to go to that. He picks then he goes to the next two sets of girls. But his intention was to go Lucas and.
He mentioned the electricity when they were going through trying to find stuff in the garbage to hide the house. That was like last episode. I feel like at that point he gave up.
Yeah.
And he bowed out and said, Lucas, you're my friend, and you clearly have a thing with her, so I'm moving on.
He went to the dance with the intent on asking the girl that he wanted to ask Dan. Like, that was the intent.
Yeah, the one who was, like, in the middle of the
crew. I don't agree with this at all, because when Max turns around...
When Max and Lucas are on top of the... No, he doesn't go and ask Max. When Lucas and Max are on top of the old bus and they're having their heart-to-heart conversation and everything, blah, 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 that's the moment where Dustin was like, okay.
Yeah. And then Dustin has a conversation later on with Lucas and says, I saw the electricity, man. Like...
He knows.
Clearly, it's all you.
He knows that the two of them are... Yeah. He goes to that dance. That girl that he first asked to dance, that's the one that he wanted to ask to dance. Didn't work, but that's that.
Yeah,
he went there with those intentions. Dustin's smart. He knows that Max and Lucas are... Come on.
The look on his face when he sees Lucas kiss Max is a look of like, I just lost.
No, that's because he got rejected twice. It's like, okay.
No. After he sees Lucas kiss her, then he goes and asks the girls to dance.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think there was a conversation about Stacy before. That character that he went to go talk to.
I don't remember the conversation.
He turns around. He's showing the hair, and he turns around to go ask Max to dance, and Lucas asks her to dance. Watch it again. It is so clear as day.
I didn't see it either time.
Don't see it. I don't see it. Anyways.
Sorry. We didn't see it. We're not saying you're wrong. We're just saying we didn't notice it.
Anyways, what else happened?
A lot.
So they got to get this demon out of Will.
Yeah.
They basically concoct a massive oven. Okay, here's the problem that I have with this. Okay? If you've ever had one of those old space heaters, I am shocked that the cabin didn't burn down. I am so surprised that this cabin didn't catch on fire. Those old space heaters are the most dangerous things that mankind has ever created, okay? It's just coil with electricity running through it in the most unsafe way possible. And they have like five of them in a shack.
The only difference now is
they build them with fans inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just that they have like, you know, capacitors and resistors that would recognize, of course, we've gone too far. Shut down.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
These things were just wire and metal. That's all it was, basically. Go ahead and plug it in. I am shocked that this cabin didn't burn down.
Yeah, those things were built in a cave with a box of scrap.
Probably. You probably could build one of those things in a cave with a box of scraps too. You could probably build a space heater like that. But
absolutely.
I like it, and I like Winona Ryder. I love what she does here because she's like, no,
we're cranking
the heat up. I have no mercy for this thing. It's getting out of my son. She's all about it. And absolutely. Poor Jonathan, he's like crying. He can barely look at it. No, you're killing him. Oh, you're dead, dead, dead. Like, yeah, he's got a hard time.
He got a hard time.
I love it. I love this whole scene. Everybody's in that small little cabin. They're all sweating. It probably reeks in there. It probably smells to high damn. Oh, my God. I can't imagine.
So bad.
I can't imagine. Not to mention, and maybe this is just a minute detail, but I can't remember the last time I've seen any of these characters take a shower. And now they're in this wood cabin with 10 space heaters all around them. And it's just, I can't imagine what that must smell like. It must be awful.
Yep. I agree.
And the visual when it finally happens, when the smoke monster leaves Will, I thought it was all right. It wasn't the greatest special effect in the world, but it was okay.
It was a little lackluster considering how like big of a deal this was for the whole season.
True.
Yeah. True. But like we knew it was out. Good. Go ahead. Close the gate. So I think the hardest part was episode 8 was so great.
Yeah.
This one being the finale was like, meh. 8 was so great. 9 was good to close things off, but it was not as cool as 8.
Okay.
No?
No, I thought this was a perfect ending. I mean, 8 could have been, the return of 11 could have been a great season closer.
To leave things open. Where are we going to go? Okay. Yeah. But then we would have had a Titans ending / opening.
If they use this episode as episode one.
Exactly. Could you imagine if this episode was the season opener of season 3?
No.
This is a great ending of a season.
Yes.
So.
Right.
Yes.
I have to say this. I don't know if this is what they're attempting to do, but you kind of feel bad for D'Artagnan at the end of this episode.
Oh, yeah. Where it's like, hey, man, can you let us pass?
We're gonna
kill you.
Here's some nougat.
Yeah, you're going to die, but like, you know, could you let us pass?
Yeah.
Can you grant us passage? Yeah. All right. I like Milky Way.
Yeah.
I remember you. You're
Three
cool.
Three Musketeers.
Yeah. Three Musketeers. Like, all right. Knowing he's going to die, like he's like Dustin still loves him.
Right. But then you see
all of them die.
Dart. Well, you see they focus on Dart next to an uneaten Three Musketeers bar.
Oh.
At the end, and you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Like,
that's rough.
If they didn't show that scene, I wouldn't have gotten that feeling. But because they show that scene, like they focused on Dart, you're like,
I think I missed that.
Oh.
Yeah, it's rough. It's pretty rough.
It's a little rough.
It's pretty rough.
It is a bit rough.
You feel bad for Dustin in that moment. You feel bad for that poor little, you know, demo dog or whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Yep.
You're kind of mad about the storm cellar. Sorry about that.
The way that these dogs are falling off of this wall, though, is like super Matrix, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With the sentinels falling in that room.
Yeah.
Yes.
Same idea.
You know,
they're all the hive mind.
Very similar
very
to
much,
that.
Yeah. Very much so, yeah. I thought the same thing when I saw it, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. I will say, like, at the end, the whole thing is, again, we've got these three different teams doing their own thing. You've got Heat Up Will, Get the Demon Out. Got it.
Operation Cook Human. Okay, got
it. then you've got Operation Distraction, which is all the kids and
okay.
And
this
Steve.
This is what I want. I love Steve so much. So
oh yeah,
I love him so much in this episode
because
you just
in the car you, when he comes
yes.
to and he's like
back up. He just got his. Royal, like the beating of his life. He is bloody. He is sore. He is swollen. He wakes up in the back of this speeding car with a very underage girl who driving with a brick for the gas. Like the whole thing, he starts freaking out. And what does he do? He actually goes with them to protect them down in the tunnel. And I think that's awesome. I think that's,
well, that's
awesome for this character to do. It's fantastic.
Was it Dustin who convinced him, who says, listen, your job is to protect us. Well, protect us.
Yeah. And he just takes
Fine.
The bag and all right, we're off.
Well, that's because Max takes Billy's keys and
yes.
Billy's
Camaro.
Yeah, right.
Yes. And we're off.
You're off.
And he flips out. It's fantastic.
It is awesome.
It's definitely the funniest scene in the whole episode.
It is awesome.
Is him coming
it's
to and realizing
so cool.
he might die right now because yeah. there's a bunch of kids that are in charge of
yes.
this car right now.
I love how
I've
they
done this before in a parking lot.
I love how they do a little camera trick in that scene too. When she's taking the corner or when she's taking the left-hand turn, the camera comes
yep.
out of the car and you hear a high-pitched
oh, yeah.
scream and you don't know who it was. I
yeah,
like
it
you,
was
you
him.
Have no idea. That's
Steve.
What I'm thinking too. It was Steve. It was probably Steve who screamed that.
100% it was Steve.
But I just the whole build up and how he just suits up and grabs the bag and puts the mask on and down in the tunnel he goes first. And then like when they hatch their plan and all of the demo dogs are coming back for them, he's the last one to leave. Like he makes sure that everybody else gets out safe and he's the last one to like finally go up himself, even though like the demo dogs don't attack them, they're more worried about like protecting their home or whatever. He's still like they're coming
which
for us,
which was a crazy shot.
Yeah,
when we think like they're done and they just run past them and you go, wait, what?
Even in
like,
that
I mean,
moment,
I get it, but like no way.
Even in that
no
moment
way.
When the demo dogs are running by them, like he's cognizant enough to like pick up Dustin. Like he does not like
yeah.
like it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I
there
love
is,
this character. I think this
there's
is
one
awesome.
Thing I don't there's one thing I don't get about this whole scene.
Okay.
I don't understand why they didn't do it. So a couple episodes back when they fry the vine.
Yep.
Yep.
Will freaks out.
Yes,
right.
He does.
If we do this too much, it could kill Will.
Could.
They
could.
They do not have any confirmation that Shadow Monster is out of Will.
Right.
But we're going to fry the center of this thing on
this
fire.
This is true.
Yeah.
Will doesn't flip out.
Well, Will's already burning because he's surrounded by a bunch of heaters.
Well, it doesn't matter that Will's burning. Will was flipping out,
yeah,
screaming in the last couple episodes back when they did.
But he was screaming here too when they were heating him up.
Yeah, because they were heating him up.
Right.
Well, after they lit this thing on fire.
I know.
When they lit this thing on fire, there was no reaction from Will.
Well, the reality was there's the feeling pain, and then there's the physical heat in that host body. That was the difference.
He wasn't feeling any pain where he was two episodes ago. The continuity part in this section does not hold. They lit this thing on fire. The hub of this vine, they lit on fire, and there was no reaction from Will.
Are you sure?
100%.
I thought that was the same time.
Nope.
I really thought it was.
You watching it right now, Will?
I'm skimming through it. They're in the tunnel. They made it to the main. Well, hold on.
I thought they didn't light it until way later. So I thought they lit it, and then it was after this, and then they lit it again. I was like, oh,
no,
maybe
they
I
lit
missed
it,
the first
they
light.
They lit it once, and they're already running back when they say close the gate. Because they have no idea. They're not on the set. They're not listening to the radio.
So, okay, hold on. So you're both right. They light it up after the smoke monster leaves Will. But Chuck is right because there's no communication between those two groups. So how do the other one know?
Right. Okay. So
You have a point. The lighting came after.
How did they know?
There was no way for them to know that the smoke monster had left Will. There was no communication there.
Well, right. Right.
That wasn't even a thought on their mind.
It's messy. It's not clean. I'll give you that. Right. It's not clean. It's messy.
I agree.
It's really messy.
Yeah, but it wasn't that they lit him on fire and then Will was fine. It was after.
Right.
So, but I like we just said, it is messy, and I do.
I'm gonna give it to you, Chuck. It's messy. It's not clean. It could have been cleaner. But then again, like, how would you even do something like that? Because we've already established that the radio doesn't really work down there. When Hop was down there and he was trying to radio, and nothing was happening. So it's
right.
Like, how would you even go about?
Well, the radio was working in front of the gate, so it was working.
Well, that's the gate. They're in the I don't know.
Right.
They're in the
Which
tunnel.
That was real. That whole scene, how it looked, even shooting from underneath the what's the thing that they're on that Hop and Eleven are on,
the little elevator,
the
lift, shooting from below that, and then all of a sudden you start to see Eleven kind of like levitate,
yeah,
because they go back to number 8 and she's like, use the anger, you know, and you see her get angry because she remembers, you know, Papa, and all of a sudden boom, the gate starts closing, and you see Shadow Monster trying to get out.
Yeah.
And it's bouncing against the wall. The whole visuals of that was amazing.
All of it was fantastic.
The visuals of the gate was so cool.
One thing I liked about it the most, I think, was her eyes while she was doing that. So she was levitating, both of her nostrils were bleeding. In her eyes, was it that the whites of her eyes were being filled with blood, like capillaries are bursting, or did her eyes go black?
They're just black.
Something
they went black.
Yeah, it was very like, whoa, like she is beyond what she was, and she is just going full on. Everything she's got in her that is whatever this power is just going full on.
Right,
and it was amazing.
Yeah,
you see that, and you're just like, oh, she is just. Not even herself. She's giving everything she's got against this evil.
Right.
And you watch it and you go, there's no way she can close this giant thing that's bigger than like 55,000 of her. But she does.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Super powerful.
Yeah.
I love Hop when they get to the facility and he's like, you let me go in front. You save your energy until it's needed.
Right.
And even when Hop gets, you know, they're in the hallway and this demo dog is out in the next room to get down the elevator, and he gets out there, and before they get called by everybody else, by the distraction team,
yeah,
you know, he's ready to get out there and give his life in protection.
Well, they were the extraction team that reached out to him specifically, extracting the being from Will.
No. The demo dogs were in the room where the elevator was, where they were going to the gate.
Uh-huh.
And Steve and Dustin and those guys were the distraction team.
Yeah, they were the distraction team, but they weren't communicating with anybody. They did that on their own.
Right, but Hop had no idea.
Right. He was only waiting for Jonathan to say, we're good here.
Yeah.
Right. What I'm trying to say is they were already going down the elevator when that happened.
Yeah.
When he came out, he was ready to give his life and to go after those demo dogs to protect 11.
Absolutely.
Of course.
He had no idea that those dogs were going to be going the opposite direction.
Right.
Because there was no communication with that team.
Right.
But to see him step out and do that, he was
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready to do this. You're like, yes. Now I'm even more so. I like Hop now.
Yeah.
And
the one thing I didn't like, and I'm going to say it, I'm going to be that guy to say it, I think I could have done without her levitating. That was a little much.
I liked it because it showed that she was putting everything in her to do this, to make this happen.
Now it's like, okay, you gotta just go ahead and make her Superman. Like, is she gonna be able to fly?
I didn't see it that way. I saw it exactly the way that Will said.
I don't know.
It wasn't like she had control over that. She didn't have control over what she was doing with her body in spatial time or spatial, you know, space. It was more about like what she was doing was the focus, and whatever happened to her in relation to that was irrelevant.
Right.
Like, she was just putting everything into that, and whatever happened to her was just like not worth even paying attention.
The look on Hop's face when he sees it, though, was like, whoa.
Like, okay.
Maybe you can take care of yourself.
Yeah, that's new.
We didn't talk about Dr. Owens, though.
I was about to get Dr.
Owens on the stairs, and he's just like, so you're going to make it so she can live a normal life.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can see it. I'm like, no. Like, no. We're saving your life right now. We could not.
Yeah.
So you're going to make sure she has a normal life, right? I'll do what I can. You better, or I could just let you
I
die.
I love that he's turning the belt into a tourniquet, too, to kind of, like, you know, cut off the blood so he doesn't bleed out. I love that he leans in with a little extra pressure, too, just to hammer the point home. Like, you're going to leave her alone, right? Let's lean into that wound a little bit there, buddy. You're going to leave her alone, right? Just think about it for a little while. And I love it. It was perfect.
It's great.
Perfect.
It's so good.
I think I love at the very end, or closer to the very end, before they go to the snowball, what's his name from the pullout? You know, he's next to his car in a lawn chair as people are leaving the facility, and he's just sitting there smiling and laughing.
Wait, I missed that part completely. That when did it happen? He's at the lab?
Yeah.
He's outside the
what? You missed
and
this?
They're all being escorted out, and he's just laughing.
Hang on. So and they do the whole thing. They do the whole rigmarole on the news about the lab admitted to death and everything. Blah blah.
Okay.
And Merv is outside the lab waving as they drive. Murray's outside the lab waving as they go. And one of the soldiers is actually flipping him off. It's hilarious. It's hilarious.
It's fantastic.
And he's just like, because he's like, our plan worked.
Yeah.
Our plan worked.
Absolutely. It got the attention because they watered it down.
He's just sitting there smiling.
Murray
and laughing.
is the best.
So perfect.
He's the best non-participating character.
Yes.
You know. And then when he does participate, it's ridiculous because he's so like ridiculous. Like, you don't.
I was not expecting them to tie that in, though, and they did it.
I'm surprised
so well.
They did. I don't remember that. So that's great. That's so good.
It's awesome. Well, it was so fantastic. Awesome. It was so awesome. And then, go ahead.
I was gonna say I was watching a little bit of like the behind the scenes. I forgot what they called the specials that they had on Netflix about this season. Mm-hmm. And just thinking about like Sean Astin and how they brought him in, like they were looking for a character to play this Bob Newby character, and it was going to be a much smaller character. But when Sean Astin came in and wanted to play that, they were like, oh, what do we do with this? Because he could totally just like make this role a totally different thing than we planned. And they did. Like, they did not plan to make him go in there with a gun and try to, you know, save everybody in the end the way that he could. That was not the plan for that character. But when they got Sean Astin and were like, oh, dude, it's Samwise Gamgee. Like, he could totally make this so much better than what they could have done.
That makes me not like Sean Astin right now. Sean Astin, if you're ever listening to this, please don't do that again.
Wow. Wow.
Oh. Like, let them write the character in for two episodes and then kill him off. Don't make it go the whole season.
That's rough. Oh, that's rough.
Come on.
Poor Sean Astin.
It's Samwise.
Poor Bob.
And he nailed it. I like what they did with the character, but they actually did write it off of him once he became Bob Newby. And I think it was great. Like, they wanted him to be dorky. They wanted him to be safe. And it's funny because so many people thought when they saw him have that conversation in the car that he was actually a bad guy.
When he was like, Will said too.
Yeah. Like, when they thought that, like, he was giving, like, bad advice on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, that was a legit thing. The directors both like, no, we never intended that. Right. But if you got that, hey,
but you know
cool.
What? But you know what? The thing is that, and we were talking about this when we were doing the first season. We had a conversation about like how come kids don't go outside anymore. Well, the answer is creepos. And when you first meet Bob Newby, and it's like they have that conversation in the
He's
car.
Too nice.
I'm thinking, there's the creepo.
There's the creep. Yeah.
The creep. But I'm glad Bob is gone.
The reality
I'm really
was
glad
he
Bob
was just oblivious.
Good. I'm glad Bob is gone because. The last visual of Joyce and Hopper are them hugging each other in the parking lot while the school dance is going on. Perfect.
Yep.
Set that up. Let's get going.
Or not.
Okay. Anyway.
Or not.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Chuck.
No. Oh, I love season 4.
Ruskies.
Anyway.
That's all I'm going to say is Ruskies.
Ruskies.
Oh, man. Ruskies. Oh. Russians, baby. Russians.
Murray.
Russians.
Murray was right.
I want to talk about Dustin one last time. He walks into this dance
with the introduction of the curl.
With way too much Farrah
Fawcett
spray.
No, it's not the introduction of the curl. It's like this cross between a Jerry Curl, Luther Vandross thing slash mullet that he got going on. Maybe, it is
might have been cool
awful.
In the 80s, but probably not.
It was more of a seagulls thing with like a flock of seagulls.
Yeah,
with curly hair.
That too.
It was,
there you go.
It was just on the sides. It was slicked back. Everything
well, that
else
was, the flock,
was still.
That was the flock of seagulls. Was the
I
whole.
Can't imagine why he thinks this would be a good idea. Why would Steve let him go into this dance looking like that? Like
it
kid.
Was the 80s. Hair was big.
It was the 80s.
Mullets
are back.
No, they're not.
I asked a year ago when I saw somebody. I'm like, wait. Our mullet's back, and everyone's like, shh, don't be so rude. I'm like, what are you talking about? The dude's got a mullet, like a legit weird, like trailer park mullet. It's a thing. It's back, and it's normal now.
No, it's not.
And it blows my mind. It's
I don't
not even
see
like
it.
80s mullets. It's trailer park mullets that are now popular.
What's the difference between
see,
a trailer park mullet
I'm so
and
happy.
A
mullet? 80s mullets were puffy. Trailer park mullets were just like long, stringy, like Kid Rock.
80s mullets were puffy?
Puffy, yeah. They were puffier. Like, they were just like a big puff that just kind of happened and made a mullet. Nowadays, they're just like long, weird, like straight hair, stringy. They don't have that, like, puff to it. They're not using Aquanet.
This must only be happening, like, in the burbs and the sticks, because I don't see that.
I've only seen one person with it so far.
It's
been a
thing.
I don't see that at all.
It's
yeah.
Okay.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, this must be your world.
My world? Where do I go?
Well, I don't know. You're the one talking about it, and Chuck's only seen one, and I haven't seen it at all. So,
it's a thing.
You see, when Lee sees one thing, it's
maybe you
a
want
thing.
It to
it's
be. A
It's been
thing.
Everywhere.
Where?
It's all over.
It's all over Stranger Things.
It's all over. It's all over. It's all over. I asked you where. This is the same thing. This is the same thing.
On the street.
This is the same thing. This is the same thing we were going through Obi-Wan, and I was like, explain to me when you saw the tunnel thing happen, and you were like, everywhere. Now I'm asking you, where do you see the mullet? The everywhere.
Well,
everywhere isn't an answer. Give me an example.
TV. Real life.
Where?
The store. The street. The concert.
Take a picture.
You know, like I'm
Take a picture.
Take a picture?
I want to see pictures of this. Take a picture. I want to see pictures of these mullets.
2024
I think maybe you saw one and you're like, oh my God, mullets are back.
No, dude, people legitimately look like this. Like, this is a thing now. This is what they're doing. They shave the sides and it's like creepy, weird mullet where they've got like a fade going on. This is the thing.
That's not a
and
mullet.
And it's strange because it's. That's a mullet.
That is not a mullet.
What do you call that?
That is not a mullet.
What is it?
The back of his hair is the same length as the front of his
hair. Yeah, that's not a mullet.
A mullet is where the top of your head is short and the bottom of your hair is long. So it's like reversed. Not the Frodo look.
Yeah. That's not a mullet.
I don't know, man. This is just... It's weird to me, but this is what they're doing. It's shaved in the sides.
But that's not a mullet.
That's not a mullet.
I mean, they're calling it a mullet.
They're wrong. That's not a mullet. Business in the front, party in the back. That's a mullet.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. But it's just like, this is the thing. And
that's not a mullet. That's nowhere near a mullet.
I know, but they're calling it a mullet. They are. I don't know why they're calling it a mullet, but they are. It's just weird.
It's not though.
I think it looks bad.
David Spade in Joe Dirt.
Yes.
That's a mullet.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's 100%. That's a Billy Ray Cyrus mullet. Yes.
It's a mullet.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying what they're calling it a mullet, and it's mullet-esque.
Dustin doesn't even have a mullet yet. His hair, the top of his head is long.
Well, he slicked the sides back, which is the same as, like, shaving it off.
Yeah, but it's not shaving it that makes it a mullet. A mullet is short on top and long on the bottom.
But his hair was long on the top and long on the bottom.
But he doesn't have
short
a mullet.
Short on the sides
but
he because doesn't, he slicked it back.
But he doesn't have a mullet. Dustin does not have a mullet.
No, he doesn't.
I know. He just did what? He did the more Flock of Seagulls style, but not mullet.
Okay.
I think mullet was more later 80s, not early
80s. I don't think Dustin knew what he was doing.
No, he didn't.
I think Dustin was just trying to...
He's trying to look like Steve.
He's just trying to be influenced by Steve because he respects Steve now because they've had I respect Steve too, and he was like, even having the conversation with Nancy, and he's like, I was a crappy boyfriend.
Yep.
But I'm a good babysitter.
I'm a good babysitter.
Yeah.
Well, wait till episode one of season three.
And he goes,
Henderson.
And he goes, you need to go with him. You need to go with John because he understands her and Jonathan now too. He respects it.
Yeah.
And he's okay with. He's kind of okay with it.
I don't know. I've always had a soft spot for Steve. Always. In the beginning you don't, but like slowly it's like, oh wow.
Second time around, I totally did. Like after like the third time I saw Steve, I was like, okay, I actually still like him here because he had a heart even when he didn't seem like he did.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I like him.
Yeah. No, I know you do. It's just.
I wanted to see where
his heart was in the beginning.
I wanted to see how far you were going to take the like anti-Steve train, Chuck, to be honest with you. I was like, I'm just going to let him go.
I wasn't anti-Steve. I said that he was in that awkward stage the last few episodes. Like, after, because he was written at first to be Nancy's boyfriend. And then when they broke up because it became Nancy and Jonathan, it came across like the writers were like, we want to keep him, but what do we do with him? And he was in that awkward stage for 4 or 5 episodes, and now he fits again.
Yeah.
And that line, I was a crappy boyfriend, but I make a pretty good babysitter, is what wrote him back into the film, and it recharacterized him for the rest of what happens moving forward. Even my daughter was like, in the awkward stages, she was like, he's a really good, he is a good mom. And you will understand why.
He's a good that mom.
But she's saying that because he's seeing, because he is the, like, he's the papa bear of the group now.
Yeah, kind of.
So because he's protective of these kids, because he takes them under his wing. But it's, they had to re, they, it took him 4 or 5 episodes to rewrite this character though. And he was just in that awkward stage.
Yeah.
I'm glad they came, they came full circle in this season, and they didn't wait a full season to do that. Like, wait till next year to do that. So, but that's me. And
I like that Nancy dances with Dustin too.
Yes,
that's yeah. really, that was really cool of her to do that,
because she saw what happened.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's sitting over there. He's on the bench. He's all moping about it. You know, Mike is over there getting his first kiss.
He
with
cried.
Eleven. Yeah, he cried. Yeah, he did. Mike was over there getting his first kiss from 11. You know, Lucas
and kisses Max.
Lucas and Max. You know, their first kiss is going on, and Dustin's like, mm. And Will doesn't care.
I think that was
because...
actually Sadie Sink's first kiss, like, ever.
What?
They made a thing about that. Like, Sadie Sink, who plays Max, I think that was, like, her first kiss ever, because they were, like, making a big thing. Like, I don't know. This is going to be weird. How are we going to do it? And then, you know, it happens. But the whole thing with, like, with Mike and Eleven is when they did it, I guess, like, everybody just stopped acting and clapped. And they made a big thing out of it. And, you know, you've got Finn Wolfhard here who's getting, like, high fives by the, all the extras and stuff like that. And he's like, yeah, you kissed her and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, all right, cool. Like, can we get back to the movie? You know, they were making a big thing out of it. It's interesting to see, like, you've got all these young actors who are actually young actors. And this is the difference, like I was saying, about, like, between the 70s and now. You've got these kids who are playing like 11-year-olds, but they're really 14-year-olds. All right, that's a 3-year difference, not a 15-year difference. You know, Michael J. Fox played a 17-year-old when he was like almost 30.
Michael J. Fox is the only one who played a 15-year-old till he was 45. I mean,
Rizzo was not a teenager in Grease.
Rizzo was in her 40s when she did Grease.
See? In her 40s.
Or her, if not her 40s, her late 30s. She was not young. She was not young.
And the other one who played Sonny there or whatever, the one who clearly had like stubble all over his face.
How old was what's his name?
Travolta? No, he was younger.
No, not him.
Kinnicky.
No.
Regardless. Late nowadays,
actors. How old was Gary Coleman when he was on Different Strokes?
Well, Gary Coleman's a special.
I understand that, but the point remains that's that he was.
So you're right. There are certain actors or actresses for her. So she was 30. Michael J. Fox, he was 30.
Yeah.
There are those handful where that happens.
Right.
The majority.
I'm talking about generally back then. Generally back then, they were all older.
No. Generally back then, when you're looking at stuff like even the shows that we grew up on, Candace Cameron as DJ Tanner was 14 or 15 playing a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
It was very...
I'm talking about the 80s and past. Like, that was
the 80s.
That was the later 80s, correct. I'm talking about beyond this, before this.
You can't use a TV show based in the 80s but filmed in the 2000s as a thing of saying back in the 80s it was different. You're using two different scenarios.
Wait.
Because you're comparing today, which is now the last 50 years, to something that was 80 years ago. Which one are you talking about, the 80s or are we talking about today?
I'm saying it's more common nowadays to get younger actors to play closer to their age.
Define nowadays, because in the 80s, Candace Cameron was 2 years old.
Before you were
old.
Born, Chuck. Before you were born.
So nowadays is the last 10 years. 40 years ago was the 80s. That wasn't nowadays. So what are you talking about?
Before our time.
So is that that's different than
so
nowadays.
When we grew up, we watched a lot of movies that were before our time. We did.
Yes. Even the kids on the Sandlot.
How?
We're still within the right age bracket.
Yes. That was the 90s. That was made in the 90s.
Do you have any clue what you're saying right now?
Yes. In the 90s, they still made movies that were getting closer to it.
So the 90s is nowadays. Okay.
Yes.
No. It's a completely
nowadays,
different millennia.
Past 30 to 40 years. Before that.
Oh my gosh.
Why are you two getting bogged down by this ridiculous semantics conversation?
No idea.
Why is this happening right now?
No clue.
Does it matter?
Nope.
Does it matter how old these people are when they play these characters? Does it really matter that
to
much?
Me, apparently,
it doesn't.
It does. You're the one bringing it up.
You're the one who's like looking it up. I just brought it up. There's a relevancy to it.
What's the relevancy?
Back, way back in the day, actors tended to be much older than the characters they played. Nowadays, not so much.
Throughout most of history,
Punky Brewster was
age
appropriate.
That was the later 80s. Yeah, yeah.
All of the Partridge Family, all of the Brady Bunch in the 70s were all around the same age.
Yeah. How come the parents were like 60 playing a 40-year-old parent?
They weren't. They were 30s and 40s playing.
Then why did they look so old?
They didn't.
Who?
Why were their hair?
Who looked old?
Who looked old?
Everybody.
Just the because the style is considered old today, but they weren't old then.
You see a guy in a suit, and you what? He's 60.
It's the makeup and the wrinkles and the actual dye jobs.
No. It was just the 70s. That's how people looked in the 70s.
60s, 50s.
It's like this. Remember in Superman Returns when Jimmy takes a picture of the
Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz brought their child onto the show with them, all age appropriate. This was back in the 50s.
Well, that was their literal child, of course.
You're taking the exception to the rule and you're applying it to the rule. Yes, there are the few, like what's her name who played Rizzo, like Michael J. Fox, who just were always older but looked younger. And those people do exist.
The Breakfast Club. You think any of them?
Emilio Estevez was young when he did that film.
Yeah, but Judd Nelson was not.
Judd
Nelson was like in his late 20s when he did that movie.
Yet acting with them and
acting
pretending
with kids.
To be, yeah,
right.
I think the big one, and I don't even know. It might be politically incorrect for me to bring this up, but you know that 70s show. The age, I like. Look at how old Mila Kunis was, and look at how old Danny Masterson was when they were both on that show at the same time.
Oh, absolutely.
Danny Masterson was like in his 30s when he did that show. It was ridiculous. So
30s?
He was old. He was.
Yeah,
up there.
That's what I'm saying. Every era, there are the one or two where that.
I mean,
is
he
the
was
case.
In. He was in his mid to late 20s when he was in Face Off. That one split second where he got dragged out of the car. He was in his mid to late 20s.
Yeah.
He was in commercials in the late 80s. He was in the what? A couple of cereal commercials in the late 80s or whatever.
Well, he was a kid. I remember he was in like Beethoven Second, and he was a kid, quote unquote. There,
kid
playing a kid. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree that it does happen, but it's not like it was a common thing.
I think it goes both ways.
Very common to do it.
You can put makeup on somebody, make them look younger. You can put makeup on somebody and make them look older. But for the most part, when you go back to the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, you're seeing a lot of people who play age appropriate things. When you get to when you get to places around the 90s and you look at a lot of those sitcoms, Pick any sitcom. What's his name from Family Matters? The son.
Eddie.
Way older than 17, 16, 15, 16, 17 when he did that show. Way older.
20.
And he was in, you look at like 5 years later when he did that show with Eddie Griffin. Eddie Griffin? Eddie Griffin. He was like a dude in his 30s with gray hair. So it
Wait,
it,
yeah. are you confusing Eddie from Family Matters with the one from
Malcolm
the
Jamal
Cosby
Warner?
Show?
Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Yeah, later Malcolm on, and Eddie.
Malcolm and Eddie, late when he did that show, yeah. He was playing a guy in his 30s or whatever. He had gray hair on that show. So it's like, you really expect me to believe that this guy aged 15 years within the few years between Family Matters and Malcolm and Eddie? Absolutely not. Yeah. But I think they're so far and in between that I really don't care.
Yeah, right. You did confuse him. Malcolm was one from – was
Family Matters.
Not from Family Matters. No. No, Malcolm, he's the one from Cosby Show.
You're right. You're
yeah,
right.
And I thought I was just you're being right. racist by confusing you're right. him. But no, it was a different person.
You're right.
In the Cosby Show, yeah, they're at the same time.
It doesn't matter.
Cosby Show, I think, was before Family Matters.
It was around the same time.
Close enough. Different channels and all that stuff.
That's another one.
Malcolm.
No, never mind. No, it wasn't. I'm off. I don't care.
So I want to bring this before we close out this specific episode. While I have been kind of just chilling lately, I've been like couching it for the last couple of days. I've watched two movies that special effects did not age well. However, the movies are fantastic.
We talk about this anytime we do a 90s sci-fi movie. I always say this. Special effects out of the 90s did not age well at all. So if you're going to tell me that these two movies are from the 90s,
there are a few.
Oh,
They're from the early to mid 2000s.
Okay,
I think.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah,
tell me.
I think they were that. I think it was in the 2000s that they came out. Hold on, before I tell you. Come on.
You know what movie didn't age well? Independence
Equilibrium.
Day.
Okay. So
Independence Day did not age well.
So I was right. So you were both right. The first one came out in 99. The second one came out in the early 2000s.
Ha. Okay.
The Mummy and The Mummy Returns.
Oh, yeah. We talked about it.
Let me tell you, the special effects are horrendous. The Rock looked horrible.
Everybody knows that is the worst CG ever put into
it's
a film.
Horrible.
It was The Rock.
However, the original story of the original Mummy,
not bad,
with Brendan Fraser, was fantastic.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
I love this. Overall,
those two movies were solid.
They were solid films.
Yeah.
Like, Rachel Weisz was fantastic in it. You know,
the fungi guy there from
her brother,
was
fantastic.
That's
in
the fungi
it.
Guy.
Yeah. I mean, they're both movies are cool. They're both fun, but they're both the same thing. Ah, zombie, run away! That's basically both movies. That's both movies.
The same thing happens.
The same thing happens.
Eddie was gone in the first one. Sorry, Eddie.
Yeah.
Bye, bye, Eddie.
Bye, Eddie.
Benny.
Bye, bye, Benny.
Bye, bye.
Yeah. I mean, they even like. Like in the first movie, she knocks over the bookshelves of the library. In the second movie, the kid knocks over the pillars in the same fashion inside the cave.
Yeah, like mother, like son.
Yeah, so a lot of the same stuff happens.
Yeah.
However, they are just 25 years later. I still have zero issues. Those are movies that I will watch over and over and over and over.
Really.
Oh yeah!
Wow.
So just for entertainment's sake, I'll introduce my kids to them. Just have fun with them.
Okay, I understand.
They're not movies that are like, there's not a lot of depth to them as a film.
No,
but the story is solid. There's not a lot of holes. They're fun to watch, and for enjoyment's sake, they do what they were created to do. Give enjoyment.
Yeah.
And they're super good.
They
still.
Were very entertaining.
Yes.
Yes.
So what's interesting about that is there's a movie that came out. We've talked a little bit about Sam Raimi. He did the Evil Dead movies. He did Multiverse of Madness, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies. He did a movie called Darkman, back in 1990, would be my guess. I don't remember. And it starred Liam Neeson and Francis McDormand. And some stuff happened, blah, blah, blah. His face falls off and he feels no pain. So he just fights bad guys. Whatever. That's his thing. They made two sequels after that. Darkman 2 and then Darkman 3. They had some taglines to them. But the main character was no longer played by Liam Neeson. It was played by Michael Vosloo, who played the mummy. Like, he was the mummy, you know. Knocks on the Moon! So he's really only known for the Darkman movies. He's a very lesser-known actor. So for him to make a comeback years later and play the mummy, it was sad that he didn't go further, because he's actually not a bad actor.
Well, he ends up being in G.I. Joe, too.
He was in G.I. Joe, you're right. Yep. So Michael Vosloo, I believe his name is. I don't know how you pronounce it, but he's got a British accent. Not sure where he's from originally, but...
So great, speaking of the Mummy too, is they in 2017 they did Tom Cruise in the Mummy.
Yeah.
They tried
to
give Universal tried giving birth to the Dark Universe.
Yes, which didn't happen.
Which didn't
not at all.
But there are rumors that I've seen of them trying to
tie it in,
bring it back.
Yeah,
to bring the Dark Universe back.
Why?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Because they're just trying to make money.
You think?
You get Universal. Because they're trying to catch up to everything else that, like, MCU's doing. And
MCU's falling apart.
Well, but now they are. So I think Universal's just biding their time until it's like, okay, now it's our time to strike.
Yeah, but they gave
it... out the mummy.
They called it quits, but they're trying to bring all those characters back.
Yes, the old mummies are the old Universal creatures.
From 17.
So you get Frankenstein... You know, Frankenstein's monster,
right?
You know, Dracula, the mummy, Invisible Man,
Dracula and Hyde, Jekyll and Hyde, which I'm sorry, what's his name? Kurt Russell. Wow, Russell Crowe as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in The Mummy. It was so bad.
Wait, that was in the Tom Cruise Mummy?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, they actually did that. Oh, I didn't. I never watched that movie. I didn't realize they were actually going that far.
2017's The Mummy with Tom Cruise.
It.
Yeah, I watched it like 6 months.
They
like,
introduced Dr. Jekyll
with Russell Crowe.
Ay. Okay, that sounds horrible.
It's such a bad movie. But you know who actually did an okay job with that whole thing? Have you seen
Van Helsing?
No. No. League of Extraordinary.
When that movie Van Helsing came out, I was always wondering, why is this so popular? It's such an awful movie. Why did people like it? Why was it always on repeat? You turn on the TV, whether it's TNT or CBS, it was always just like Van Helsing's on.
And Kate Beckinsale?
Yeah,
that's why. It was two Australians, two attractive Australians.
That's I'm sorry, Kate Beckinsale is what made Underworld.
Oh, yeah.
That was a fantastic film.
I think she's what made Click.
The first, yeah.
The first Underworld was fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
Oh,
the first
so
Underworld
good.
Is an amazing so movie. It got a little...
I didn't mind the other couple. Like, the next two were okay,
the,
I think.
The trilogy, the first three were good.
Okay.
I don't remember. I didn't watch the others after that.
The two after that just got dumb.
I didn't bother watching it. I had no interest.
Yeah.
Even though I liked the original three, I had no interest in going further.
I love the first movie. The first movie's amazing.
It was so good.
Yeah.
When
the
Victor,
first movie's really...
you know, when Bill
dude.
Nye comes out.
Yeah.
And you think he's like a good dude, but he's like, no, he's a jerk
he
too.
Is
Bill
off
Nye
his rocker.
Is a fantastic
yeah.
Rocker. Bill Nye is a fantastic actor.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that he's the... I mean...
He was great in Shaun of the Dead.
He was fantastic in Shaun of the Dead. He was amazing in Shaun of the Dead. But, all right. I'm fading.
Tapped?
I'm
tapped?
I'm fading.
Tapped?
All right. He's tapped.
I'm good to go.
Well,
so, I mean, I'm excited because we're finally going to get into season 3.
I'm not.
Which means...
I'm not.
When is season 5?
I actually have a recommendation for season 3. I'm not giving anything away by dropping this. Like Lee last week didn't give anything away by dropping the bomb. I'm not giving away by dropping this bomb. I'm going to throw it out there. I want to see how the two of you feel. And if we can swing it, we can swing it. If not, we don't have to. And Lee, it's not going to be a big thing for you because you watch these episodes at 1.5x anyway, so whatever. I can't anymore.
Oh. I just found out that my new access to the account does not have speed change. I've got ads and I can't change the speed.
Well, never mind then.
You have ads on Netflix?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a lower version.
Netflix.
I get
is...
Max and Netflix in like a combo and now they've got ads.
Yeah, Netflix is
and I can't speed through. I found that out just before you showed up. I was like, "Come on, why can't I?" No way. Yeah.
Oh, I don't have ads.
Okay.
Well, maybe I'll sign back into your
account. Well, no. Well, you never were on my Netflix.
No, but I can sign into your other one.
My idea for this season, and we can change it back for season 4 if you want to, but my idea for this season is we do 3 episodes a week. Because this episode, this season is filler. This season is a lot of filler. Okay, I'm just gonna put it out there like this. I went into the third season a little bit just to see what we were getting ourselves into. Episode 4, 5 is when something happens. And the first 3 or 4 episodes is like, okay, that's a thing. But it's not like...
Bless you. Keep going.
That's it. That's
okay,
my idea.
I'll do 3.
I'm so
I'll
glad I'm not in that room with either one of you right now. No. So that's my idea. That's my idea. I put it
Come
out there.
Over there.
I'm down with that. I'm down with 3.
I can do 3.
Okay.
I got
then we
plenty
can
of
do,
time.
Then we can do 3 moving forward.
We'll have this season wrapped up in 3 weeks.
Yep.
9 episodes.
Because
so that being said, this is our last episode in the studio. So it's been fun.
Yeah.
It's been real fun.
It's been fun. It's been real, but it hasn't been real fun.
It has been. It has been. Even though there are logos and signs everywhere and all that stuff this time. But the reality is we will not be here anymore. It's been fun. We're going to go back to the keeping it local, keeping it home. And so the audio quality shouldn't change.
Keep it secret.
Keep it safe. Yeah, but we might be doing some movie nights at some point in that realm here.
Sweet.
So we'll talk about that at some point. But
Sweet.
Yeah, so we will come back with some new Stranger Things stuff for the next season.
Come back.
Season 3.
Come back.
I just want to get to 4. I want to get to 4.
I know you do. So do I.
I know.
But we can't.
I know.
Don't eat.
Season
don't.
3 is so weird.
When does 5 get released officially?
I don't know.
Let me look that up. They don't know.
They don't have an actual. Yeah. I will say this, though. Aside from Stranger Things, but tying into this season of Stranger Things, Ghostbusters Afterlife is coming out in March. Or after our Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Pretty excited about that. I know, Will, it's not your thing, Ghostbusters, but Chuck, you were like over the moon for Afterlife. So.
Yeah, I liked it.
I'm surprised you haven't said anything about Frozen Empire at all. Have you even seen a trailer for it? Good. Don't. Because we need to go see it blind. As blind as we can.
Can I open my eyes during the movie?
Yes. Yeah, and I'll talk to you the entire time.
So that I can't see it blind then.
Yes.
This is news.
What's that?
Is this really happening? Is this real?
What is it?
This is real.
Life? I have 2 fingers.
This is real. When was this article published?
Why is this happening?
This article was published 2 days ago. This article was published on the 17th. Is this real?
And can you just tell us?
Linda Hamilton joins Stranger Things cast for 5th and final season.
Ooh.
That's what I was just going to say. Linda Hamilton, there's a report.
Linda Hamilton may be joining the Hawkins, Indiana crew for the 5th and final season of Stranger Things, but she won't be watching along with the rest of the show's fans because she doesn't want to ruin it for her, blah, 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 blah. Ooh. They've been very careful with the story, so I still don't know how it ends. Oh my God.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I saw a report saying that Linda Hamilton's not going to watch season 5 of Stranger Things. And I was like, why would she not watch it? Like, why is that news? I didn't realize that she was going to be acting in it.
Interesting.
It's like Tom Cruise is not watching season 5 of Stranger Things.
I do get to be there for Table Reads, and I get to watch, and I get to watch it unfold and be a part of it. I am thrilled to be a part of what Hamilton said, but I just never ever saw this one coming. It's different when you're a fan of the show and that sort of thing. Everything goes well. How do I fit? But we're working on it. It's good. It's really good.
Wow. What?
Maybe she'll shed a tear.
Maybe.
Someone from the 80s who was there can act and shed a tear.
Oh, man.
That makes me even more infuriated with season 3. Anyways, that's a... foreshadowing, baby! Woo-hoo, baby! Get ready.
Well, it's the 80s.
Get ready.
You tie in Terminator somehow.
You have no idea. You have no idea, Chuck. You have no idea.
Seriously?
I am going to rant so hard next week. I'm gonna, oh man, if we're doing 3 episodes, you're gonna hear, this is gonna be God tier from me. I am going to, this is gonna be fantastic. Okay? That's it.
Oh dear.
That's it.
Awesome.
Well,
time travel. Time travel.
Oh boy.
It's a good thing this TV show is not predictable.
Oh, it's not. What happens, I promise, you do not see coming. I promise you. There's no way you see what's going to happen.
If Arnold Schwarzenegger shows up, I'm going to laugh.
Oh man.
I love you both. I love you both. Chuck, I love you. Anyways, we're done. We're out of here. And next week we will be reviewing the first 3 episodes of the 3rd season of Stranger Things. Join us. It will be something to talk about because oh baby.
Yep.
Goodbye, everybody.
All right, cool. All right, bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.